This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of The Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by BetRivers. Coming up on today's podcast, the Guardians get off to a good start. The Browns were a couple of weeks from getting back together on the field. And the Cavaliers, is it over before it's over? That's all coming up on today's edition of The Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by BetRivers.
You're in The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
Let's begin with the Cavaliers. The playoffs, now that we're into April, happy April Fool's Day. Don't get suckered by somebody on Twitter, by the way. Every year, there are people getting suckered on April Fool's Day. Now that, you know, Twitter is what it is, and you can't trust the blue check marks and everything's like a big mess there, it's even easier to get fooled. So don't get conned. Don't start retweeting stuff that's wrong from a fake account. Be smart about everything you put out there today. That's the warning. By the way, it was 2 years ago today that I did my last show on 92.3 The Fan. 2 years. Hard to believe it's been that long, but yes. And that's not an April Fool's joke. It was actually on April Fool's Day that I did my last show on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So it's been a different time and a great time for me in the 2 years since. Not that there weren't great times before, but things have worked out nicely for me and hopefully for you as well. But we start today with something that has not worked out nicely, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. With about 2 weeks and change to go till the playoffs begin, the Cavaliers have not played like a playoff team for a while now. That 18-2 stretch they had in the middle of the season looks long gone. And injuries and poor play have added up to the Cavs not playing particularly well. Despite that, the Cavs do wake up this morning, still in third place in the Eastern Conference. In fact, they've moved back into third place because they had fallen behind the Knicks, but the Knicks have dropped their last two, where the Cavs have split their last two, and still have a chance to have home court advantage in the first round. They've probably lost their chance to have home court advantage in the second round, you know, if they can get there, which at this point won't be easy because they're three games behind the Bucks, 2.5 behind the Bucks, but three back in the loss column, unlikely to make that up. The Cavs have six games remaining on the schedule in the regular season. And at this point, obviously it doesn't look like they're going to play well enough. Seven games left on the schedule. The Cavs have this West Coast road trip to end the season. They're at the Jazz tomorrow, then the Suns, then the Lakers, then the Clippers, and then their final three games are at home against the Grizzlies, Pacers, and Hornets. Not playing great teams, but obviously they're playing three pretty good teams at home, at least around the road at least, and then a good Pacers team before the end of the season, or a decent Pacers team, who they could end up playing in the first round before the end of the season. It's hard to even say what the most likely scenario is with seven games to go because, again, they're in the third spot, but they're only they're tied with the Knicks in the loss column, and they're only a game up on the Magic. So realistically, they probably won't move up to two. They probably wouldn't drop down to six, but they could realistically end up in the 3, 4, or 5 seed, and what a difference that would make. The last thing you want to have happen is end up the 5 seed and don't even have home court advantage in the first round. And again, they're only a game and a half up on Orlando and a game in the loss column. So that's not a crazy, unrealistic situation. So you don't want to see that happen. Cavs got Donovan Mitchell back this weekend. In the first game that he came back, the Cavs played a Sixers team that obviously is, since Joel Embiid has gone down, the Sixers have not been a very good team. In this game, the Cavs did defeat the Sixers 117 to 114, but Donovan Mitchell, and has been the case, of course, of late, Darius Garland struggled. Donovan, obviously, his first game back, expecting to be rusty. He was. In this win over the Sixers, in a game in which Evan Mobley played very well, and he's played two really good games this weekend, and George Niang played really well as well. Sam Merrill hit his threes. He had a good game. But Darius and Donovan combined to go 10 for 25 from the field, 2 for 11 from 3. You knew it wasn't sustainable that they could keep winning if that happened. Obviously, you give, at least I'll give Donovan Mitchell a pass because he's just coming back from missing a bunch of games. Yesterday, now that was ugly. The Cavs were down 9 at the half. And things got worse in the second half. They got destroyed in the third quarter. Again, Darius and Donovan combined to struggle. For Darius, this is a long pattern at this point. The two in this game were combined 5 for 20, 2 for 7 from 3. Darius had 5 points in the game, 3 turnovers. He did have 7 assists. The only bright spots, Caris LeVert played well. Again, Mobley had a good game. But there was not much positive from this one. Really no positive. The Nuggets did whatever they wanted. Jokic, as he does, always does, pretty much has a triple-double. He had 26, 18, and 16. And it just looks so easy for him. The Nuggets played a great game in this one. They shot 64% from three. That's not good. The Cavs were just awful on defense, and that's been, you know, the one thing you've been able to rely on, it seems, is the Cavs' defense, and that just hasn't been there. And we're getting to the point where nobody has any faith in the Cavaliers when it comes to the playoffs. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. I think it'd be hard at this point to have any faith in them. I know I have no faith in them. I still think it's possible that, listen, if Donovan Mitchell stays healthy and gets right, he's got 7 games. To get himself together. If he gets back to the player he was and has been, then the Cavs would have a chance in the first round, especially, you know, if they are the 4 seed, have home court, and end up playing, whether it's Orlando or, I guess, maybe Indiana or Miami. But it's hard to have any confidence in the Cavs. They could end up playing the Knicks, unlikely, because Orlando would have to hop both the Cavs and the Knicks, but I guess it's possible. But it's hard to have much faith in the Cavaliers right now. Their defense has been terrible. Their offense has been inconsistent. The injuries have hurt big time. Darius Garland has been terrible. Let's face it. I mean, he can't shoot the ball right now. It's been a while. This is not a couple of games. This is not him just getting back from injury. I mean, he's been back a while. He can't shoot. He's just been a total disaster. So, at this point, these final 7 games are about trying to hold on to the 3 seed, yes. At least a 4 seed to have home court in the first round, but really about getting Donovan Mitchell. To me, Darius is what he is at this point. I mean, he's a lost cause to some degree for this year. I can't imagine he's going to turn it around here in the last couple of weeks. It's just been going on too long, whether he's lost too much weight or he's lost confidence or both. It's an issue, and that's not going to be fixed this year. That's an off-season and next year thing. But Donovan Mitchell's had a magnificent season. And if he can come back from this injury, it's a big if just because he's been in and out of the lineup with it. And you don't know if he's going to be 100%. If he can get back, I'd still give him a chance of winning a first-round series. But at this point, the Cavs feel like a long shot to even win one round. And, you know, 6 weeks ago, I think we were all thinking differently, that maybe the Cavs can make a run. They could possibly be the 2 seed, get home, you know, win in the first round, maybe get home court, get the right matchup in the second round. You know, felt like maybe against Milwaukee they'd have a shot, or, you know. And now that just seems ridiculous. Seems like no shot at all. Let's talk about the Guardians. Guardians off to a great start. We talked last week about, you know, the fact that there's no buzz for this team to start the season. They did nothing in the offseason to create a buzz amongst the casual fans, the diehards like me and Jay and Jason and Zach Meisel and JN and Menner, and those guys are all, they're going to be there. But the casual fan had no reason to be excited about the start of the Guardian season. Talked last week about, you know, they have a 10-game road trip to start the year. And they have a chance to, you know, get the fans excited. If you could start 7-3, have a great start to the road. Remember, the Guardians don't play their home opener for still another week. It's a week from today that we have the home opener, the Eclipse, Women's Final Fours next weekend. It's going to be a crazy weekend here in Cleveland. Crazy next weekend. And we know the Cavs, the Guardians are sold out for opening day. And Shane Bieber, by the way, is going to pitch on opening, or at least he's expected to, I guess, if there's a rainout or something happens. Seattle's got a dome, right? They got a retractable roof, I think. So no rainout there, but Minnesota's an outdoor stadium, I think. I can't remember now with all these new stadiums who's got a retractable roof and who doesn't. But Bieber's expected to start the home opener a week from today. He is going tomorrow against Seattle. But the Cavs, the Guardians did their part in the first series. Unfortunately, they did lose yesterday, but they won 3-4 in Oakland. They would have loved the sweep against what was the worst team in baseball last year and should be one of the worst teams in baseball this year. Don't want to go over the top. I mean, the Guardians' bats were really good in this series. They scored 29 runs in the four games. That yesterday game was ugly. They were down 3-0 late. They rallied thanks to some terrible Oakland defense and fundamentals to tie. Guardians had a great chance to take the lead in the ninth. And who the hell got tagged out overrunning third? I can't remember now. And I got to go look at the play-by-play. I should have that in my head. The ninth. It was Bo Naylor. That's right. My guy, Bo Naylor. He went past the bag when the Guardians went at first and third, nobody out in the ninth, and then the inning went downhill from there. And then the bottom of the ninth was just a mess. Scott Barlow started the inning after pitching the eighth. And he walks the first batter, infield single, and then Butler gets a single for Oakland. Terrible base running by Hernandez. Gives them a chance with the bases loaded. They go to Eli Morgan, and he walks to pinch hitter Abraham Toro on four straight pitches. So you lose the finale, but overall, a nice series. Usually you take 3 out of 4, it's great, because it's Oakland, you want to sweep. But that's not right. I mean, as bad as Oakland is, you still expect them to win 1 out of 4. So it was a good – overall, it was a good series. The Guardians pitched well. Carrasco was not great in his return to the Guardians, but he wasn't horrible after a brutal season he had with the Mets. He went 5 innings, gave 6 hits, a walk, 3 runs, 3 Ks. I know it's against Oakland. Paul Blackburn pitched a hell of a game for Oakland. Their bullpen is the one that gave it up in the eighth, and obviously their defense that blew up. But overall, like I said, good, really good week, really good way to start the season for the Guardians. Shane Bieber was tremendous on opening day. In the starting pitching, not great for the Guardians in this series. It's funny. They, obviously this season, if the Guardians going to have a good year, it's going to be about the pitching, but it wasn't. They won 3 out of 4 outside of the Bieber game because of the offense, not really the pitching. Tanner Bibee struggled in his first start, 11 base runners in 4 innings, lucky to only give up 3 runs. Talked about Carrasco. I mean, he wasn't. Again, for Carrasco, at this point in his career, it was a serviceable start. You can't expect much more from him. And Logan Allen, again, he was okay. He gave 3 runs in 5 innings. 6 hits. He scattered them for the most part. 3 strikeouts. Did give up 2 home runs to J.D. Davis. And Emmanuel Clase got the save that night, although he didn't look that sharp. He did give up 2 hits, and the tying run came to the plate. But it was good enough, and the bats were sizzling this weekend. Jose hit a home run. And to see the Guardians score that many runs to start the season is exciting because, obviously, we're not expecting the Guardians to be very good offensively. Stephen Kwan hit a home run on Saturday. And, Rocchio had a good weekend. Gabriel Arias had a good Saturday. I don't know what he was doing in the ninth with that bunt. I got to go through some of the post-game stuff this morning to see what happened there because I didn't understand that. That's what led really to Bo Naylor being thrown out at third base. He got too far off the base on the bunt attempt by Arias. And kudos to David Fry, who had a nice weekend as well. Had the big game to start the season. And then had a hit and got on base three times in his second game. So the offense off to a very good start for the most part. Not as good yesterday, but it's good to see the Guardians bats humming. Now this will be a real test here. You go from playing the worst team and maybe the worst pitching staff in baseball in the A's, and now you got to play a Mariners team. Who has one of the best rotations in all of baseball. Pitching matchups for this weekend. Tonight, they play at 9:40. Tristan McKenzie on the hill, making his first start of the year against a kid for the Mariners named Emerson Hancock. He's 24 years old. He was not supposed to be with the team to start the season. And he's barely pitched in the big leagues. He pitched last year 12 innings, and he got three starts at the end of the year, so this will be his first start, obviously, this year. Their fifth starter, Brian Wu, got hurt right at the end of spring training, so Hancock got the fifth starting job. But he's a talented pitcher. And then tomorrow, great pitching matchup at 9:40, Shane Bieber and Luis Castillo. Love those pitching matchups. Castillo, unlike Bieber, though, did not pitch well in his first start of the year, gave up four runs in five innings. But we know he's a really good pitcher. And then on Wednesday, the third and final game of the series, a 4-10 start, Logan Allen will make his start, his second start against George Kirby, the excellent young pitcher for the Mariners, who had a really good season last year. And the year before. I mean, he's been good since he made his major league debut in 2022, made 25 starts, was really good, and then last year he was even better. He was really tremendous. 172 Ks in 190 innings, a 104 whip. And in his first start this year, 6 2/3 shutout innings with 8 strikeouts. So the Guardians, who are facing bad pitchers, are facing really talented pitchers these next 3 days. And so it'll be interesting to see, can they be as effective offensively against a far better pitching staff in Seattle and just a far better team? Yeah, the Mariners don't have a great lineup, but it's decent. And they're a team that could go to the playoffs, certainly has a realistic shot, whereas Oakland is just a disaster. But, you know, you're playing a good Mariners team, or at least what I think will be a good Mariners team. And then right after that, you play your first division rival in Minnesota, who was the defending division champs. So in these next 6 games, even if the Guardians split these next 6 and come home 6-4, I'd love it if they went 4-2, took 2 out of 3 from both Seattle and Minnesota. That would be pretty impressive. And I think there would be definitely some buzz going into opening day next Monday. By the way, 2 weeks from today, the Browns will open their off-season activities. But like meetings, it's the first day of like off-season work, April 15th. And the Browns OTAs are set. They have they're doing three OTAs, May 21st through the 23rd, May 28th through the 30th, June 3rd through the 6th, and then the mandatory minicamp is June 11th through 13th. Those things will be here before you know it. Before you know it, you'll be seeing football players back on the field. I know there were football players on the field this weekend in the UFL, but honestly, I have no interest. None whatsoever. Mentioned before, the women's Final Four coming to Cleveland next weekend. Of course, you have the big Iowa-LSU game tonight. Looking forward to that. UConn, was it UConn-USC, is the other women's regional final tonight. But that Iowa LSU game will be the most watched women's basketball game ever probably tonight. It's creating way more buzz than the men's tournament. The women's tournament's doing great ratings that we've never seen before. Kudos. They had better storylines, players that have played for multiple years. You know the players. The men's tournament, you don't know the players. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thanks to Brian Monzo for producing. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Make sure, if you haven't done so already, hit the subscribe button. Give me a thumbs up. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time. Where else but right here in the Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the Bet Rivers Network.